Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I'm excited to be joined by our first state champions of 2017 and also our first coaches from Alaska. It's a pair of co-head coaches, which we'll talk about in detail and how they make that work. But from Bartlett High School in Anchorage, Alaska, we have Coach Jessen and Coach Esparza, the co-head coaches of the 2017 Division I state champions in Alaska. Coaches, thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, first off, guys, let's talk about this co-head coach role. I know, Coach, you sent along some info, and it really seems that this is something that works well for you guys. But talk to us a little bit about how this delegation of head coach into two positions has worked out for you guys.
Yeah, I'll let Coach Jessen talk about it, actually. It's worked out good. Our job here is a really big job, and ironically, we won a state championship in 2009, and then Dan left to get a head coaching job, and ironically, Fairbanks, Alaska. And then when he was gone, I felt overwhelmed. And then I stepped down, and Dan came back and was a successful candidate. And I don't want to speak for Dan, but I think he was overwhelmed. And our job is just a really big job here because we have to do a lot with grades. We have to do a lot with equipment. We have to do a lot with fundraising and keeping track of kids' behavior. And luckily for us, too, it's not just the co-head coaching thing. We have like 6 to 8 teachers that coach on our staff. And we work side by side with one of our teachers very closely, and he's our JV coach and coaches DBs and running backs for our varsity. So we have 6 coaches in our building, and we had about 130 kids in our program, and it's a lot to – one of the other things that we do that's unique but tiresome is that, Dan, I go up to the varsity practice and coach every day, but I also coach our freshman team, and that's helped, and that's been happening for the last 6 years. So that's helped make us good, too, besides all the other stuff that goes on.
Yeah, well, it's obviously any head coach has a lot of hats to wear. So I certainly can appreciate how you felt the need to split that down the middle to alleviate some of that sense of feeling overwhelmed. And I think the more that you get involved in your program, the more you have on your shoulders as the head coach. Do you feel that making this move has maybe allowed you as a head coach to – I think sometimes you become an administrator in that role to maybe get more involved in the players' lives, more, I guess, a little bit hands-on than if you were just the head coach by yourself?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that this has allowed us to do is it has allowed us to be closer with our kids, but we kind of split what we do. Coach Jessen does all the administrative stuff. I operate most of the football stuff at practice and on game day. But, you know, like he said, it's really, I think the biggest reason why we're able to impact our kids is there's 6 or 7 of us here in our building that see our kids every single day. And you know, you might not believe it, but we're an inner city school and we're the 2nd most diverse high school in the United States. And so we have a lot of low-income kids, a lot of inner city kids, a lot of kids that need a lot of one-on-one attention and support that they don't get at home. And so doing it this way and having Coach Matsuoka, who is also, like you said, our JV coach, our DBs coach, our running backs coach, our study hall coordinator. You know, between the 3 of us, we're really able to impact our kids more on a one-on-one basis because we're splitting our duties really into thirds.
You know, how has that evolved as a role for you, especially as you guys look at developing your culture, developing leadership within your program? Do you feel that the way you guys have done this kind of helps in developing those things as well?
Well, I think the biggest thing that develops our program is that you have one of the head coaches coaching the freshman team. And then Coach Matsuoka, who we're alluding to, coaches our JV team. And so our kids know us by the time they get to varsity. And all of us are pretty strong leaders, and we're trying to get our kids to do the right thing all the time in school, like turn in all their work, get to the weight room, do their share of fundraising. And there's, like I said, about a 6-head hydra here at our school, and the kids we're all pretty consistent. And if we're not, we talk to each other about it. And our kids have to deal with our consistency and buy into our program.
Coach, if you could, tell us maybe some of the unique things of high school football in Alaska, maybe as compared to other parts of the United States.
Well, I'm originally from California, so I can really answer that. Number one, we have the most beautiful stadiums in the nation. I mean, it's amazing, the backdrop of all our stadiums. Also, we've had the chance to meet a lot of people that have come up here because they want to see football in Alaska. Not so much go to the games, but like participate in the camp. So over the years, I've got to meet people like John Ralston and Rick Neuheisel and Frank Solich and guys like that that have come up. Barrow won the championship the other day, and their big backer is Larry Zonka. So a lot of people, and their stadium is right on the Arctic Ocean. So there's a lot of uniqueness. And I'd like to think also our kids are tougher up here because it is a tough place to live. You know, it's dark 6 months of the year. It's very icy. And our kids up here at all the schools have a lot of grit because this is a tougher place to live. We have a shorter season. We start in July. Pretty much now all of America is starting in July. But we have to be done by about October 20th or else we'd be getting into some really, really bad weather and really dangerous practicing situations. It's evolved a little bit. We used to all be on grass. Juneau, in fact, was on silt, glacial silt for a while. But everybody now seems to have a turf, and that's moved along. But the venues here, if you ever get a chance to come up here and look at all the different football venues, they're amazing.
Well, I think that's part of the fabric of this great game, is you see some of those things as you go across the United States and look at some of the differences from state to state. And certainly, I've been able to look at some research on you guys, look at some of the pictures of football in Alaska, and I'll agree with you, very beautiful as far as the backdrop for some of those stadiums. The other thing I came across was, I don't know if it was this year, but it was a pregame haka of your team. And is that something that's still part of your program? And I guess, how does that work into your culture as well?
Yeah, it's a big part of our culture. We have a really large Polynesian population at our school, and I would say that probably right around 50%, if not more than 50% of the kids on our team are Polynesian. It's a big thing that we started doing a few years ago. Our kids really embrace it. And I think as far as our culture is and the Polynesian culture, family and doing what the family needs and the nuclear group is the most important. The community is more important than the individual. And I think that's really been a part of our culture. It's part of what our kids have bought into and what we're trying to sell to them. And it's how we were able to win the state championship, of being selfless and doing what the group and what the family needs. So, yeah, we've been doing it for a long time. And I think if you hear Alaska people, or if you hear a team in Alaska being over 50% Polynesian, it probably sounds funny, but it's a big part of their culture and our culture.
Coach, looking back on your model of co-head coaches and thinking of that a little bit, when you guys are faced with maybe tough situations, for example, a parent who needs to come and talk to you or discipline issues and those things like that, how do you guys take care of those types of things? How is that divided up?
Well, Coach Jetson, so that's part of our split. He takes care of the parents. And then in terms of tough situations or discipline, we have a very straightforward and clear-cut discipline code of conduct for our program. And so it's really easy to enforce between any coach. You know, our rules are cut and dry. They don't bend. We don't bend rules for good players or for guys that are contributors or anything like that. We toe the line for everybody, and it's easy to enforce. And in terms of the parents, that's Coach Jessen's side of the co-coaching. He's really good at it, and so that's how we split that.
And looking at how maybe you guys get into the football side of things, I believe you said that that's your role. Now just looking at, hey, we're going to run this offense, defense, et cetera, how do you guys put that together?
Well, we run a wing tee offense. I played for Coach Jessen here at Bartlett, and so I learned everything I know about football from this guy, so it's pretty easy. We run a wing tee offense. When I came back and took over in 2012, when we lost our first 13 games of the year, I tried to be like other people on TV, and we tried to run the spread offense, and we lost 13 games in a row. And so then we went back running the wing T, and it's worked great. We've been really hard to stop. We've had the two highest scoring offenses in the state of Alaska two of the last 3 years. We've had over 4,500 yards rushing two of the last 3 years. And so we're both on the same page with that. Defensively, we have a defensive coordinator, Coach Middleton, and that's his side of things. We completely trust him. Between him and Coach Matsuoka, they run our defense, and they take care of business over there. On the football side of things, that's what we do.
Coach Jess, you guys have been a wing team going back to the time where you were coaching Coach Esparza here as a youngster. Where did you learn your wing T offense from?
I played in a program of the wing T gurus of Northern California. And the main guy, it was Maryland High School in Sacramento. And the main guy was a man named Don Brown. And then my head high, he stepped down but was kind of around. And then my main high school coach was Jerry Kundert. And that school has created some outstanding coaches. One is Mike Albergini at Grant High School. Benny Blankenship at Aptos High School, Dave Humphers, who's now co-head coaching at River Valley in Yuba City, California, Terry Stark at Intercom. And all those guys have won over 200 games. And then there's another dude from Maryland that's down in Southern California, and he's at Notre Dame. His last name is Sweeney, and he's won like almost 300 games. So that was like a coaching cradle that I just got lucky to be around. And I was around a lot of good coaches. Our two assistant high school coaches, Humphers and Blankenship, have won 200 games each in Northern California, and they're just awesome. So that's why I learned it. And those guys are at our disposal to learn new things from and stuff. So we, through the years, we've called them, or they've come up here for camps and stuff like that. So that's where I really learned it.
The internet today makes it easier to learn your football. I mean, I can't imagine what it might have been like 30 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, when it wasn't as prevalent to be able to get this football information off the internet that you do today. You know, looking at how you continue to develop as a coaching staff, what kind of things do you rely on to professionally develop? Is it all online for you guys, or do you have a good clinic system up there? Or, you know, what do you guys do?
We have a little bit of a clinic system up here, and I've never been that big a clinic guy. I think it's more important probably to go to somebody's practice, watch them implement stuff on the field, and then ask them questions. I get a lot more out of that. And I think what we do a lot of up here, and it's across the board in our program from discipline to everything, we make adjustments all the time. And we see what's going wrong, and then we try and fix it. So that could be on the field, that could be off the field, everywhere. So we have, for instance, four seasons ago, we were getting into May, and probably half of our team was ineligible. So we put together a really good study hall program, and we made it mandatory. And now our kids have to get, like, in order to not be in study hall, they have to have a 3.17. And now there's a culture of doing good in grades. And some are doing it just so they don't have to go to study hall. But whatever their motivation, our grades have shot up, and it's impacted the graduation rates at our school and stuff. So, you know, we make adjustments constantly on and off the field on stuff that's looking bad, and we identify it and go right at the heart of the flame.
What would you say, Coach, is the key to making those study halls the most effective? Because I've been a part of those. I've seen them implemented well. I've seen them fail miserably. What do you think is the key to being able to take something like that study hall and make it the most effective for your players so that it builds that culture like you're talking about? But obviously, you have a group of eligible players as well.
Number one thing is the coach has to keep track of their grades and look up their grades all the time. And when there's over 100 kids in your program in the off season, it's kind of cumbersome, but they do it. The other thing that works in that is a absolute quiet setting where the kids have to do their work. A lot of our kids have really bad study skills. So they come to the study hall and they spend the first 10 minutes laying out their food and eating and talking. And one of the things that I did last year was I made them get out work first thing before they even touch their food. And then it's going to sound really weird, but sometimes a little extra conditioning motivation too for the ones that are a little slow to embrace the process.
Yeah, that always does seem to nudge them along a little bit, doesn't it?
Yes. right now, pretty much most of our kids are on autopilot, but we have about, you're going to have 10% that are tough to deal with. So,
on 2017 in the season, let's start with Coach Esparza here. What do you say are some of the main lessons you learned as a coach, or maybe your program learned as a whole, that are going to help you guys moving forward?
I think perseverance and grit. You know, we started off our season 3-3, and you know, we lost three games. All of them were close. Every one of them was in a touchdown or two, including one in California to Pleasant Valley High School, where you know it was 110 degrees at kickoff, and we're not used to that. And our kids fought hard and played against a really tough team. And we've had just some we've had some off the field things. We had a kid who was supposed to play for us this year passed away 2 days before our season started. We had a teacher in our school pass away about a month ago from breast cancer, and all those things impacted our kids. And so the one thing when I look back on our season and our team is I just look how they were just perseverant and tough and gritty, and you know, were able to bounce back from a lot of stuff. And even in the state championship game, you know, we were down by a point with a minute and 51 seconds left in the game and came all the way back and we won it, won state title. And so I think that's the biggest thing of our kids is battling back and not bowing down and not getting out of the fight.
Coach Jessen, how about you?
I'd probably echo what he said. We had some really tough things. That when our kid Mlunglu Chirbang died, that was a big deal for us. And then when our teacher, she got hired the same year as me, it was Tanya Taylor Winchester. When she died, that was tough. And then me personally, I was referring to mentors, and my high school coach, Jerry Cundert, 85 years old and 60-something years in the game, he died. There's a lot of those things going on, a lot to play for. And then, you know, regardless of that, we have our kids work out since January, and they're on the grind. They had to raise money and get together for that trip. I think the trip helped bring us together, too, working for it and actually going on it. So those are the lessons that I would learn. And then you just tell people to never give up. And our kids learn that. I think this football stuff isn't that important. But I think what our 64 kids that played in the championship game, they're going to walk away and say, never, never give up. We try and teach lessons beyond the football field. And that's one of the things that we do a good job of here. And we've had some really bad luck the last 3 years. We could have won the championship the last 3 years, but we had bad luck with injuries, but also bad luck with behavior at the end of the year. So I think our kids learned a lot that, hey, you know, behave yourself, conduct yourself the right way. And we were very healthy going in the last game, and we didn't have any major discipline issues. So that was good.
To wrap up, guys, I'm going to ask each of you basically the same question. It might be the same. But as you look at the things you guys do in your program and everything you do for your players, what would be the one thing you point to as something that gave you the winning edge in 2017?
Honestly, our kids. Our kids pulled out the game, and we had one of the things when you coach, you'll have a really good group of, say, juniors, but not such a good group of seniors, or it'll be flip-flopped. We had two really good groups in a row, and they had the right mentality, and that mentality bleeds over from the school. It bleeds over from, we have a lot of kids taking AP classes. We have kids taking accelerated college classes. And the more guys you have like that, the more that transfers to the field. And those guys were our leaders. And when we had to score with a minute 54 left and drive from the 45-yard line, those kids did it. And they applied all their stuff that they do throughout their life, the grit of raising money from a trip, the grit of getting good grades, the grit of taking challenging classes, all bled over to the football field, and that's how we won. It was them.
Yeah, and I'd piggyback off of that. I did the count. Our seniors were 32-5 in high school, and they won a championship all 4 years. They were here. They were the freshman conference champs. They were the JV conference champs. They were undefeated both those years. They won our conference championship last year and the state championship this year. Our junior kids are 24-3 in high school. They were undefeated as ninth graders and conference champs, undefeated as sophomores and JV champs, won the state championship this year as juniors. So it was our kids. They're just winners. And like exactly what Coach said, they're winners in the classroom, winners off the field, winners on the field, and they just refuse to lose.
Guys, a lot of our listeners do like to connect with other coaches out there. What's the best way for our listeners to connect with you?
Via email for me or on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that. I'm on my phone often.
Yeah, my name is John, J-O-H-N, Jessen, J-E-S-S-E-N. They can connect with us on Facebook. On my profile page is a picture of us posing after the state championship. It's hard to miss.
Guys, I appreciate you taking the time. Join us on the podcast. It was great to get our first state champions of 2017 here, and certainly great to hear about football in Alaska. I appreciate everything you're doing, and obviously you guys are providing some great leadership for your program.
All right. Hey, thank you so much for having us. This is great. Yeah, thank you so much.
Best of luck, guys, in 2018.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.